You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the Break a Bat podcast, where baseball meets Broadway. An attempt to show that my two favorite mediums don't have to live in such separate worlds and maybe even break some stigmas. We're happy to have you with us. Now let's play ball. Hello and welcome to Break a Bat. I'm your host, Al Malafronte, returning to my home field tonight, the Broadway Podcast Network Studios.
Woo!
It is good to be back in the batter's box. We took the show on the road last week over at CBS, which was great. Got to hang out with Al Dukes. But there's always something special about playing here on Broadway. And I think if you're a Broadway fan, especially within the past 15 years or so, there's certain shows out there that are just synonymous with what makes this so great. And I'm not talking about the Break a Bat podcast. You know, I think back at the root of my love for this medium, which I've alluded to a little bit in the past. It was right in the heart of junior high, while I was actually participating in theater at school with the incredible support of my parents. While I had obviously gone to see shows before with my family, I'll never forget the night that the Booster Club arranged a drama club trip to see an evening performance of Wicked right before summer vacation began. If memory serves, the show was about a year into its run, and unbeknownst to me at the time, this show was slowly becoming part of the fabric of this great Broadway community, eventually more so than anyone probably could have envisioned when it debuted. So much stands out, seeing those bright lights up and down 8th Avenue, obviously, the big escalator inside the Gershwin that takes you up to the stage. Then, of course, once you're there, the music, the sets, the story, and of course, the characters and the amazing performers who bring them to life. It's a night that will always stand out to me. And even as I've gone on to see it since with, you know, a greater understanding of the art behind it, you know, it's something that you'd never forget. It's just synonymous with this medium. In many ways, you know, some of those early experiences at the theater are a lot like what you feel like when you walk into Yankee Stadium for the first time with your dad. The bonding, the history, the stories surrounding the night. It's all part of why I love what I get to do here so much as we try to bring these two worlds together as best we can. And, you know, with a little help from some of the performers who make them both so special. I've said before that, like in baseball, there's certain roles on Broadway that are just synonymous with prime real estate. None more so than the Witches of Oz. My guest today holds the distinction of being one of the longest tenured Glindas in the now storied franchise that is Wicked. They're essentially the Yankees of Broadway at this point. A longtime member of the show's touring cast in which she played Glinda, she made her Broadway debut in 2017 and took on the role in all-star caliber fashion for nearly a year and a half, cementing herself is part of the fabric of this very special place we call the Broadway. With that being said, if you'll please turn your attention to home plate, just beyond the marquee, now batting, Amanda Jane Cooper.
Hi, everybody. That was awesome.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Wow, you're so good.
Wow, thank you for that. It's a mix between profound and like I said, just trying to tie these two things together sometimes, you know, you start to look back on some of those memories, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so formative. I feel like I should sing, take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. I don't know.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, that's it. That's how it goes. Thank you. You've seen a seventh inning stretch or two in your
life. I have. I'm terrified of a baseball. You know, I was never really too good at sports, but I understand the parallels, and I love it. I'm here for it.
I love it. What do you have going on? I understand you're about to head off to Israel.
Oh, yes. My first time ever in that country. I'm really excited. I'm going to be performing with Isaac Sutton, who is a singer performer over there. And we're doing 4 concerts all over the country, some in Tel Aviv, some in Jerusalem. And then I'm also teaching a master class over there as well, which I'm excited to meet everybody. And just go to a place where there's so much rich spiritual history. And so I'm psyched for it.
Now, you said that you're going to teach a master class. So you're going to be working with kids, with give me the age demographic.
The age demographic is like young adults. It's not going to be littles. I work with kids here in the city sometimes, and in my like private Skype and coaching, I have clients and students from all ages. But this is going to be more of a young adults crowd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you like the coaching thing? Because there's a lot of baseball players, like Alex Rodriguez, for example. This guy knew baseball inside and out, much like, you know, acting and singing inside out. Who said that he would never want to be a manager? The tediousness aspect of it just isn't something that's appealing to him. Even though he's great at the craft and is really passionate about a new generation picking it up, is that, you know, what's your take on all that?
Well, I think there's a definitely like a special gifting for like the teachers who have changed my life. Oh my gosh. I just think they're like meant to do it. There's something so special. It's like they've just been gifted with this ability to like call out the best in you, see the best in you, give you the language to kind of get there. And like, by no means am I comparing myself to my greatest teachers. What I think I mean is like, I love the craft of it. So if I can help, just encourage somebody or give somebody, feedback that's going to like help them take that, performance or audition to like the next level or just to ground it more, it's a privilege to be able to do that. But I do think for like full-time teachers and people who like, that's their main vocation. Oh my gosh. I respect that so much. I don't know how their brains work like that. And how their talent is just like so unique. So I don't consider myself like, you know, I'm not doing this full time, but I do love it. Just sparks such a light in me to watch a light bulb go off for somebody else, who loves the craft as well. So I love it.
Now, I have to tell you, you mentioned, you know, that you're not, did you say that you're not necessarily that comfortable around a baseball?
Oh my gosh, it's like earlier. This tiny hard ball that like goes 90 miles an hour.
Well, if Chapman's,
it's danger.
Hold up, you know Aroldis Chapman, New York Yankees closer?
Sure, yeah, now I do.
He's kind of our mascot, but he throws 105 miles an hour. So yeah, turn that up a notch from the 90.
I didn't even know that was scientifically possible. That is crazy.
So it's funny. One thing I like to try to do is I like to make our guests feel comfortable here in terms of props or ambiance. Sometimes I actually do have a couple baseballs here, okay? Mm-hmm. I do have the Yankee hat in front of me, obviously.
Swag.
It is kind of swag, isn't it?
Very swag.
And the other thing that I have here, for the first time recording one of these shows, in a couple of the Instagram photos that we have with our page, sometimes I'll do the show in a Yankee jersey.
Yeah.
And people ask me, what jersey you have on? Which jersey you have on? And the answer is actually, it's a number 25 Yankee jersey, which could apply to Gleyber Torres. It could apply to Mark Teixeira. If you want to go all the way back to Giambi and Girardi, 25, a lot of great Yankees have worn that number. Because you were coming here tonight, I went into the vault.
Yes.
And I pulled out something that I'm wearing for the first time doing this show. It is a, tell the folks at home.
It is a number 2. Okay.
And, you know, to my understanding, you have a little bit of a connection to someone who is pretty synonymous with the number 2 around Yankee universe.
Hey, you know, blessed. I think we're talking about Mr. Derek Jeter.
The newly inducted Hall of Famer. That's right.
That's right. That's, you get that title. Yes. Yes. I got to meet him. I think it was December 2017. So it was right after, not right after, but like maybe 6 months after I started at the Gershwin. And he brought his students from his foundation called the Turn 2 Foundation, which is so awesome. So basically the Turn 2 Foundation is a foundation that was started to motivate young people to turn away from drugs and alcohol and turn to healthy lifestyles. And apparently when the foundation was born, Derek drew inspiration from his father's experience as a drug and alcohol abuse counselor whose work had helped so many people overcome substance abuse. Also, funny enough, and I did my research, Al, okay, because I knew I was coming to see a baseball expert. The name Turn 2 is symbolic of the dramatic double play made by infielders during a game. And then, of course, like, his number is number 2, and he had a 20-year career with the New York Yankees. So anyway, I hope you're impressed with my research.
I am. Even despite the Wikipedia description of a double play, they are actually pretty spot on with it. Can be very dramatic, but go on.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So he brought, I mean, I don't even remember how many, it must have been like at least 100 students to see the show. And we were really fortunate to be able to do like a pre sort of talk back, like talk about our lives. Myself and Ashley Parker Angel, who was playing Fiero at the time. And yeah, Derek and his sister just could not have been more gracious. It was awesome. We got to speak to these kids for about 20, 25 minutes, and they just listened to like our life stories, which was super humbling that they wanted to know. So it was great to connect with them. And afterwards, he was just so kind and took a bunch of pictures. And it was like, oh my gosh, we're performing this tonight for Derek Jeter. Okay, let's go.
As amazing as it is, as far as what he does with the foundation, I'm actually kind of more stoked that he came along with the kids because yes, he wanted to see Wicked. That gets me stoked as a baseball fan and
right,
a Broadway fan.
Like, he wanted to see Wicked, but he also wanted to like be with the kids and like share that experience with them. And I just thought that was so cool. He showed up and he's really, you know, hands-on, and I think it's wonderful. So my Uncle Keith, hey, shout out Uncle Keith, is a huge Yankees fan. And you know, I'm like, I have mad respect for this sport. I love sports, especially, you know, intermission. I call it halftime intermission sometimes. You know,
that's good crossover terminology.
Right.
I like it.
And I have so much respect for these athletes. I just don't know a ton. But anyway, my uncle Keith is like a massive fan. So I was like, guess who I'm meeting tonight? And he was like, are you kidding me? So yeah, I tried to soak it up for all of us. But he was super gracious and grateful.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I've always found your story really interesting. You've described yourself as someone who was very shy as a kid growing up in Philly. What was it that made you find solace in musical theater?
Such a good question. I was a shy kid, but you know what? I think there's like maybe some people who like, that's their personality for life. You know, that maybe they're a little more on the shy side. Maybe they're more on the introverted side. And that's just like their given kind of maybe personality. But I think for me, like the shyness really came from fear and insecurity. And, I don't know, just being like a little person in a big world. And, So I think when I found theater, which was in fifth grade when I was 10 years old, I think it was like just, it was this freedom to kind of get my eyes off of my own fears. And it kind of thrust me into like, just the playground of like, okay, this is the task at hand. I'm playing this character. These are their lines. Okay, this is where I have to go. Kind of jumping into being in somebody else's shoes gave me the freedom to kind of forget about myself for a little bit and forget about my own, like, I don't know, just fears and, insecurities, I guess, even as like a 10-year-old. So that word solace, you know, solace, when I think of that word, I think of like the word home, you know, and peace. And I definitely did find, I felt at home. I felt at home doing it. I was like, oh, wait, I like this. I'm having fun doing this. And then just sort of the eggshell of my like personality just sort of crumbled off. And I sort of stepped into what I think was the personality that I don't know, just sort of more extroverted, more curious, less fearful. More joyful, definitely. Like theater brought that out in me.
Now, once you start to recognize that not only you have a passion for it, but obviously you're talented. I just want to bring up a baseball example here for you.
Hey.
You have a lot of guys in the game who personality-wise aren't necessarily the most outgoing, as they come up through the system or even, you know, going back to high school and before that. They are, however, extremely competitive. You have to be to succeed in either baseball or Broadway. You know, despite your shyness, do you think you were wired that way, you know, as far as a competitive nature, or did it take you just some time to develop that?
When I think of competition, I think the word that comes to mind for me is like passion and grit. Like, I think when you love something, you just give yourself to it. Like, if you love it, you give your time to it, you give your resources to it, you give your focus to it, like, you give your extracurricular activities to it, you know? And so I think there's like maybe I guess like a little bit of competition just within your own self to because it's quite fulfilling artistically and personally to kind of like dig into your full potential and like really feel like you are kind of I always like to use the term like I don't know, man. It's like when you have that feeling that you are just riding the current of the river that when you're reaching your potential, when you feel like you're like just doing, when you feel like you're excelling at something and just in your purpose, it really feels like, wow, I'm just like, it just feels, when you love something, you give yourself to it. So I think I just loved it so much that I was like, it was less about, oh, let me compete with this other person because, you know, just like on a baseball team, of course, like a company of a show is very much a team and you're working together to like achieve a common kind of mission or I guess win by the end of the night, as it were. So it's like less kind of competition with people and more like collaboration, but definitely like that grit and that passion, I think that you have to have as an athlete. I think you also have to have as a stage athlete. Not to be too nerdy, but.
No, 100%. 100%. I just hit my micro. I'm that floored by what you just said right now. I think it's so spot on in so many ways.
I'm like, is it nerdy to call it a stage athlete? But you really kind of do start to feel like that. 8 shows a week, 6 days a week, keeping your body in top form. You know, there's a lot of self-discipline that comes with, doing a show and, carrying out your duties every week. So I definitely see the parallels there.
And you end up going to Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah.
So obviously you were really good from a young age just to be able to, you know, get into a program as prestigious as that. While you were there, you had the opportunity to meet Stephen Schwartz at a masterclass.
Oh my gosh, Al, I did. what a gift.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly. For the folks at home, Stephen Schwartz wrote the music and lyrics to Wicked. And, you know, I guess while you had this masterclass. Mm-hmm. You choose to sing popular for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to compare it like this. That's like Aroldis Chapman is watching your bullpen session and you tell him that you want to show him your fastball. Aroldis Chapman is kind of like the pioneer of the fastball. Stephen Schwartz is one of the pioneers of Broadway. That's a big undertaking. What made you decide to do that? Tell us a little bit about that encounter.
Oh my gosh. You know, thinking back, I was like, what else am I going to sing? You know, got to shoot your shot. I think that's like a basketball term or something. I don't know.
Hockey, basketball. Yeah, couldn't you apply to either?
Shoot your
actually.
Shot. Yes. Yeah. Maybe hockey. Yeah. But I loved Wicked. I saw it when with the original company twice. You know, Philly being so close to New York. Thank you so much, Mom and Dad, for bringing me up to see the show twice. And I just loved it so much. And I had so much respect for him. And it's the first time meeting. And I was like, well, what else am I going to sing? So I put on this pink dress and I was like, very nervous, but also very excited and just try to serve the piece. You know, I tried to not be like, oh, is he going to think I'm good? I just was like, okay, just do your job, you know, like just sing this, embody her and just go for it. But it was definitely, it took a lot of focus. I was definitely really nervous, but he was so gracious and I sang it and he said, you know, I think you might play Glinda one day. And then I passed out. I'm just kidding. I did not pass out. But I very much wanted to because I was like, oh my gosh, Mr. Stephen Schwartz is so kind and encouraging. So yeah, that definitely caused me to continue to like work hard in school and just, just my passion for and desire for that particular role really grew from there.
So you really started to visualize yourself. As
you know what's so funny? I did. Like back when I was in school and stuff, I literally would visualize like coming down from the bubble.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Incredible.
Because I know visualization, like a lot of athletes use that for their whatever plays they're going to do. Like,
no.
Guys,
no.
I am a sporty Spice. Okay. Guys, listen to my sports knowledge. No, but I know that they do visualize, right, to go over like what they're going to do with excellence or something. And I don't know. I dreamt of it and I visualized coming down from that bubble. So then when it happened, I was like, this is crazy and such a gift.
It's so funny. Anytime you watch like a big game, like a World Series game or something like that, and guys hit a walk-off home run or get the game-winning hit, That's one of the first things they say, though. It's like you're playing baseball in the backyard and that's what you're thinking about with your wiffle ball bat or your wooden baseball bat.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this is what you dream about as a kid. And obviously, mm-hmm. You and I grew up around the same time, you know, right when Wicked started to get popular.
Yeah.
No pun intended. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, having someone like Stephen Schwartz tell you that. That's going to stick with you and just, you know, like that fire under you. That's amazing.
Definitely. Definitely. I to this day, and I will continue to say it, I'm just so thankful to him for really changing the course of my life by believing in me at such a young age. And trusting me with her so young, yeah.
Now, did you guys stay in touch after college? Because not long after you graduated, you end up in the touring production of Wicked.
So interestingly, my first audition for Wicked was April before I graduated.
Was it for the Broadway company?
I forget what company it was for. I think it was maybe for the tour. Maybe it was like a general call. I don't know. I mean, I had an appointment and went in, but it was like a decade ago, so I don't remember exactly what company it was for. But I went in and then graduated. And then my next audition was like October. And then I had maybe a series of like four or five auditions. And within that was a work session over at the Gershwin. I remember working on some of the music and just, you know, polishing the audition up so that as more people watched it each time I went in, there were like more people behind the table we were just like working it out to make it the best audition that it could be, which was so fun. And then, yeah, I got the call January of 2011 to say, hey, you know, First National, Glinda, let's do this thing. And I was just so floored and so excited. But yeah, to answer, what was your initial, am I answering your question?
I'm more so asking if you had stayed in touch. Anything.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, because Stephen had said, you know, send your materials to Telsey, which is the casting office that casts like everything, including Wicked. They cast a lot, including Wicked. And so I was like the biggest nerd, and I sent them my headshot with my resume, of course, and a pink cover letter with stars and hearts and glitter. I am not kidding you. I was full out, no marking. I was like sending this letter with so much intentionality of like, please see me for Glinda. But I was like, hello, Stephen Schwartz, like, told me to send my materials to you. Then the ball started rolling for those auditions. And he was always just like in my corner and such a generous champion. So,
you know, there's often a big adjustment for players in baseball who have to adapt to big league life. You know, all the travel, being away from their families.
Yes.
You know, how did the touring experience treat you?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I've been really blessed to be able to tour twice, once on the first national tour and once on the second national tour. The first time I went out on tour, I was 22 years old. I had never done 8 shows a week before. So it was kind of like being shot out of a cannon in the best way, but also like in a very challenging way. Just the stamina, the discipline, just learning what my body needed to be able to show up well and all of that. And also, you know, I'm 22. I'm just like fresh out of college. So dealing with like personal stuff as well. I'm pretty like open about my journey that quite a bit happened in those 4.5 kind of years between both tours. I moved to LA and just had a huge life change, really. And then the second time that I went out on tour, which was with the second national tour, I was 20. Oh, how old was I by then? Probably 26 or something, I think. And that time around was just so different. First of all, I was out there for twice the amount of time. Praise God. So much had happened in those 4 years between the first and second time. I grew so much as a woman, as a person, as just a child of God, just like really just surrendering my life. Because before I had definitely, I had put the wrong things in the spot of God in my heart. You know, I put success there. I put relationships. I put substances there. I just was like, what is my identity? Like, if I can get this job, that means that I made it. That means that I matter. I wasn't like rightly kind of prioritizing. The things that really, I dealt with a lot. I dealt with an eating disorder in college that kind of crept over into my time as a young performer, and was just making a lot of self-destructive choices and acting out and rebelling and like just doing all the things like I never thought I would do. But then I was like, oh, okay, we're here. Like, we're doing this. This is my life. I was just really exhausted by it. During my time in LA, I met a woman who is like a mentor to me to this day, who just introduced me to the person of Jesus. And I got baptized in 2013 and just said, okay, God, like, I've been trying to do this life by myself and I'm in a whole lot of funk. I don't think I want to do it by myself anymore. I'm ready. So, So coming back to the tour with like, a stronger foundation of identity, and just like of having a foundation of love was awesome.
I want to talk about the adversity that you've overcome just a little bit. Was there like a certain rock bottom moment that made you realize, hey, I've got to change something? Because, you know, so many guys who come up through baseball, and I speak more in terms of baseball than I do Broadway sometimes because I played baseball. Mark Teixeira, for example, you might know him, 3-time All-Star, World Champion for the Yankees. He once said, you know, how, you know, he was a highly touted first-round draft pick out of Georgia Tech, which is like the Carnegie Mellon of the baseball world, okay?
Yeah.
So he, you know, 5th overall pick in the first round, he comes up to the major leagues, he hit 188 his first month. And, you know, years after, once he became a perennial All-Star, he kind of revealed that he didn't just turn it on. There was an aha moment. He's like, he looked in the mirror one day as he was struggling. He's like, damn it, I'm so selfish. What is wrong with me? If I put all of my hopes and my dreams and my aspirations, my happiness towards baseball and what I'm doing on the field, which, you know, for you, you're, you know, when you're going out to LA, you know, you're still working on your profession, you're working on your craft. If you do that, you'll be disappointed on a daily basis. You could get three hits, for example, in baseball. You get your first three at bats, and if you pop out with the bases loaded in the ninth inning to end the game, the crowd is going to boo you. So he has gone on to talk about, you know, going back to that selfishness, being short with people. He needed to make a change as a person, and not because it was going to make him a better baseball player. And once he did, you know, he found faith, and he's talked about, you know, how it made him better on the baseball diamond because he was happier off the field. What was it about, you know, about where you were in your life's journey that made you want to make that change?
Such a good question. I feel like what I discovered was like everybody worships something.
You weren't practicing as a kid?
I went to church as a kid, yeah. But I don't think it was because, you know, my ears were too closed to the message, or like just my heart like wasn't open to the full message of the gospel of like forgiveness and freedom and renewal. And I think later in my life I realized like, wow, I'm like worshiping other things that inevitably are unstable in their nature, you know, like I think in culture a lot, like we worship like money, status, career, and any number of different things. And I found that when I placed my eyes on the Creator, that I was able to love people better, just have a joy that wasn't dependent on circumstances in the physical realm, a peace that like passed all understanding. And man, this is a journey. It's like I just need God every day. Like it's not like, okay, snap, now you have it all figured out. Like it's definitely a journey, and I'm constantly learning. But yeah, just that, it was just misplaced worship that just leaves you empty, like at the end of it. And I was grateful at 22 to realize and to just be so exhausted by a lot of the choices that I had made. I was grateful that I had that realization at 22 rather than at like 44. And it was really hard. And to your question of like, was there a rock bottom moment? Oh my gosh, there's a Rolodex of moments that I probably should have gotten out sooner, but I was just so caught up in my destruction and like just kind of my funk. And you know, it's funny because like everything was like kind of fine on the outside. But a lot of this stuff was hidden, you know. So it just came to a head when I was like, I actually, even though it kind of is okay on the outside, this is not how I want to live for the rest of my life. I was just tired. I was tired. So I'm grateful for that exhaustion, you know, to just be like, all right, my hands are up. Like I need help. So yeah, I'm grateful to just have like that personal relationship with God, you know, where, where I can just get my kind of any kind of affirmation, wisdom, like peace, joy, all of that from a vertical relationship versus like trying to have the things that are horizontally aligned like fulfill me. So yeah, it makes me as a person more fulfilled, and therefore in the work, like I can bring more of a fullness. You know, I'm not like, I'm depending on this for my entire happiness, you know, because then you get really hard on yourself and then all this stuff. But like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to create, like, God is a creator. I think he's created me to create. I'm going to create out of a place of joy, grace, because listen, I'm not perfect, you know, in life. And also like in this performance, I almost just spilled my water. Actually, as I was talking about not being perfect, I literally almost spilled all over the microphone.
I'm usually the one that does that.
I'm just so animated right now. I'm sorry. It definitely, and it got, you know, I think when some of the personal funk is not like the the forefront as much. There's just more room to, for the work in a really genuine way. So yeah, it was so cool to come back 4.5 years later to have experienced a little bit more life and just come into it with fresh eyes, like new eyes, new intention and perspective. So it was really, really awesome. And not to mention that I got to do the show again with like a lot of my beloved castmates that I had already done it with, which was so full circle. So it was a gift.
Being in that great place that you were spiritually and mentally, did you notice any difference? Like, you know, when you're performing Popular or For Good or something, like,
yeah.
What's that like?
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, having such a clear head, whereas, you know, maybe before you didn't. I'm curious about that.
Yeah. And also, you know, I mean, as humans, like our prefrontal cortex doesn't even like develop until we're 25 years old. So I think also like I had more, that's a part in the brain that kind of has to do with self-awareness.
Yeah.
For sure as a 25-year-old or 26, you know, I was like a little more just self-aware in my, I guess, work. And I mean, yeah, there was a new joy, honestly. There was a new joy about going out there every night and just having an organic, like connected experience, not only with my castmates, but also just in my spirit, you know? And I think that definitely translates, at least it did for my own sanity and enjoyment of it, you know? So yeah, and definitely like during For Good, gosh, that song is so moving. Oh, every night just hearing sniffles from the audience, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I get to do this. Like, because we all can relate to that person who has come into our life and changed us for the better. Yeah. So every night I would, you know, be thinking whether it was my family or my friends or, you know, God. And also the woman standing right across from me who I've had so many fabulous alphabets. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's praise God. I mean, honestly, it's just grace. So, yeah, I'm just grateful to be walking in a whole heck of a lot more freedom. So, and just getting ready too for the responsibilities that were to come, you know, like I think it was so purposed that time in LA where I was working on TV and film. It was really fun, but I also got to just kind of dig into a lot of healing, go to counseling, make a lot of progress there so that when I came to the tour and I came to Broadway, it was just, it's just an alive experience.
Now, before we head off to Broadway, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, it's time for the seventh inning stretch. Stay tuned.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, Amanda, this is a really fun segment here on Break a Bat. Are you familiar with the seventh inning stretch?
Yeah. You know, you get up and stretch your legs. That's what it... You maybe go get some peanuts. Maybe get some water. Maybe go to the bathroom. Maybe talk to your friends.
You have a very accurate perception of what this is, but let's not forget, you're a player on Broadway. You're a player on the field. So this is your chance, yes, to stay loose, but to stay loose in the batting cage. Hey. Take a few swings, except instead of swinging at baseballs, we're going to have you swing at some trivia questions.
Okay, here we go.
All right, so here's the deal. Half baseball, half Broadway. You get enough of them right, you can join what we call the winner circle here at Break a Bat with some pretty exclusive company.
Oh my gosh, I want to be a winner.
Yeah, we've had some good ones. You know, Robin Herder's one, Kate Rockwell. I hope you'll fare better than Al Dukes did last week. We made it through five. And again, he's executive producer of the Boomer and Geo show at CBS Sports Network. We made it through five questions. The one that he got right was about whether 101 Dalmatians was ever on Broadway. So I'd like to think that you'll do a better job than him.
All right, we'll see. No promises. I'm going to try my best, though.
I was going to break my chops over that. All right. In L. Frank Baum's original novel, Glinda was not the Good Witch of the North. She was the Good Witch of the...
South.
That is correct.
Yes, that's correct.
Fantastic. Okay, you're one for one. I didn't know that until I started to put this episode together, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
If a batter has a full count, what is the pitch count?
If a batter has a full count.
Yeah, so imagine yourself in the batter's box. You're facing a pitcher.
Yeah.
And he's throwing you pitches. If the count is suddenly full.
Okay, that means that you only have one more chance or else you're out.
Technically, yes.
Okay, so doesn't that, like, is the number like five?
So there's a certain number of balls and there's certain number of strikes.
Okay. Oh, three strikes, you're out.
Unfortunately, you did not get that question right. I'm going to have to be strict.
My fiance is
going to
be
strict
so
here.
Sad. Okay.
It's three balls and two strikes. So
Wait, what?
So listen.
You only get two. Okay, because three strikes, you're out.
You're out.
So there's only really two. And then the third one.
Yeah. So the third strike, you're going to the bench. But if you have three balls, you're one ball away from a walk.
Okay.
So that means that if the pitcher throws it outside or two inside. And you have good plate discipline as a batter, then you could take first base.
Okay.
But obviously, then the third strike, you'd be striking out.
Guys, I gotta get on this.
All right. We got a couple more questions, right?
Andrew, will you help me with, can I call a friend?
Can I call a fiance? Brittany, you want to be a lifeline tonight?
Yes, we need you, Brittany. Okay.
Some of the friends here at Break a Bat do know who Brittany is.
What was the answer?
Three balls, two strikes.
Okay. Yep. Brittany, I'm coming for you. I need your help, girl. Okay.
All right, here's your next one. Maybe more your speed. Unlimited, my future is unlimited. This musical passage appears several times throughout Wicked with slightly different lyrics.
Yeah.
Which song does it not appear in? Defying Gravity, For Good, The Wizard and I, and Thank Goodness.
It doesn't. Okay. Wait a second. You just threw me a curveball.
I did.
I don't think it. Wait, hang on. Is it like a subtle thing in Thank Goodness? Wait, don't tell me. Because it definitely is in For Good because it starts with I'm limited. And then, of course, it is definitely in Wizard and I. It's definitely in Defying Gravity. It's not in Thank Goodness. I would have known that. I sang it a lot.
That is correct.
But I didn't know if it was like subtle, you know? Okay.
You got it. All right. So you're 2 for 3 right now. Aroldis Chapman was a member of the 2016 Yankees before being traded to which team to end their 108-year World Series drought?
Oh, I know this because it was a huge deal. And it was Chicago, right? And the team is called the Chicago. Oh, gosh, guys, this is going to be bad because I might say like one of the wrong animals. It was the Cubs.
That is correct.
Woo! I almost said Bears.
And you know, the story has a happy ending for everyone because Chapman did come back to the Yankees.
Oh.
And that was a sick World Series. I don't know if you saw that one.
I mean, people were like so emotional.
It was incredible. And A-Rod was in the booth for it, which was like really fun for me, obviously, because my Yankees didn't even make the playoffs that year. But.
Honestly, what gets me is like the emotion of it, the stories behind it. That's why like, oh my gosh, in the finals of stuff, I'm just like, oh my gosh, what are their parents thinking right now? Like, embrace them and they got them to this. You know what I mean? Like, I get so invested in the stories, And then I honestly root for like both teams because I empathize with like both of them wanting it so bad. Okay. Anyway, next question.
I'm not wired that way as much. I don't like, see, that's the thing. If the Yankees are playing someone, it's like beat the crap out of them.
Oh, you know? Man. Well, you're loyal. You're loyal. I'm just a fair weather, like, you know, you're I just good. Want everybody to win.
Everyone to be happy.
Yeah.
Now, here's your next and last Broadway question.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Now, much like Linda, there's a rich lineage of Elphabas in Wicked.
Yes.
Which of the following actresses has not taken on the role either on Broadway or the show's national touring production?
Okay, which actor has not done it? Okay.
Kennedy Coggle, Leslie Margarita, Carmen Cusack, or Rachel Tucker?
I'm fans of all those ladies, but I know that's Leslie.
That is correct.
But I want her to play it. She needs to play it. She is amazing. Oh my gosh.
Now, I'll give you a little hint here on this last baseball question. If you get it right, you win the prize.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
We may have alluded to this earlier. Which New York Yankee All-Star has been likened to Elphaba by the baseball and Broadway community for his ability to defy velocity with his record-setting fastball?
Okay, is this the guy that did like 105 yes. miles per hour? And you kind of helped me earlier because you told me his name. And now I'm forgetting. Oh, man. Is he like still playing?
He is. He also helped end the Cubs World Series curse.
Oh, man.
Which might have been hinted at earlier. Oh. He's made 6 All-Star games. He holds that record for velocity.
Is it like an interesting name?
He has been mentioned several times on this show tonight and several times on the show before when the Caston brothers are here.
Is his name, is it the guy that whose name starts with A?
Yes, it is. Yes, it
Wait,
starts with the letter
it's,
A.
It's like, but it's like a very interesting not
It is an interesting
typical
name.
Typical name.
It. The first name, even if you can give us the last name, we'll accept the answer.
Gosh, it starts with an A. And then is the last name a C? Like, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yes, yes.
You guys, okay, but I got the initials.
You're getting closer.
I'm just trying to convince them to give me the prize. Alistrad or something? I don't know, a lot.
There's a lot of emphasis on this question tonight, folks.
There is. I mean, feel free to like speed our voices up so that it's like faster. A lot. I don't know. Honestly, like Alondis Chapman.
Well, what did you just say?
What's Chapman?
That is correct!
Oh my gosh!
You got it! First of all, the name Alondis is amazing. Let's just start calling him that now.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. I can't believe it. You helped me, though.
Yeah.
You helped me, but that's kind of a miracle that I said Chapman.
All right, you remember now?
Okay,
Araldis Chapman.
Oh, Araldis. I didn't know there was an R in it. I thought it was like Alondis, but it's Araldis. Okay, Araldis, if you listen to this, I'm very sorry that I did not know how to say your name.
I hope he does listen to it.
Me too.
It would be great to have him on the show. Yes. And if he ever comes, we will be happy to have you back
in
studio.
I'll be a surprise guest.
That would be awesome.
Or I'll be like Ellen, where they like you like scare your guest. I'll like scare him or something.
Well, this is a little prize that we're going to give you as you enter the winner's circle.
Oh,
okay?
My gosh. I am so... Everybody loves a winner.
I am rocking out to this right now. Keep going.
What is this?
This is your official Chapman on Broadway long sleeve t-shirt.
Wow.
With the little Break a Bat logo on the bat here.
Oh my gosh. On the bat. And it's even like my size.
Is it really? You're small. Perfect.
Yes!
There you go.
Oh
have
gosh.
It. It's all yours.
So cute. I love a navy. Thank you so much. I am so excited. I didn't know I was going to get like merch.
Oh, well, you know what? This is our way of welcoming you to the baseball and Broadway community.
Thank you so much.
Brittany, if you want the medium I also brought, I'm happy to give you one as well. Alan has one, Dory, Ashley Williams.
We can be twinning. That's good company.
K-Rock. Well, yeah, this is good. Now you can join the club too. I'm always happy to bring in more people.
Oh my gosh. Thank you guys.
You're very welcome.
And I didn't even have to phone a friend. I could have phoned you. I could have phoned Brittany.
I don't know how to answer any of
them. She's humble. She's humble, folks.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, you mentioned coming full circle with Wicked and, you know, coming to Broadway finally. What was it like making your Broadway debut?
Al, I was shaking like a leaf. I will tell you what, I did the show many times on tour, many times, you know? It's like, all right, it's in my body. We're going to go do it on the Broadway stage. Why am I doing this voice? I don't know. Anyway, so I literally like, you know, you fly down from the bubble and you're holding the wand. And I literally was like, I'm going to drop the wand because I'm shaking so much and my hands were sweaty. And I was like, why am I so nervous? But I think it's just when we get nervous, it just means we care. So I was like, all right, grace, grace, grace. This just means you care. Just say your lines. Give yourself to this as much as you can. And by the end, I was like, honestly, I literally don't know what just happened, but now we're taking our bows. So hopefully it was good. But it was really special because my family was in the audience. And so that was just like, they have been with me through this whole journey and I love them so much. And so that was the most meaningful part. And it was very steadying too, because I was like, I know that at least, you know, four of these people really want me to do great.
Now, you had a reputation for being a leader within your cast. And I think that speaks to the importance of leadership, both on and off the stage, if you want to be successful as a team. You know, Jeter was a great example of that. He obviously had a really important role on the field for the Yankees, you know, heavily dictated by his talent, much like you have a lot of talent as well. But as you may know, he was actually the Yankee captain for most of his career. And the team really fed off the culture he helped create in the clubhouse once they took the field every night. Did you notice any change in the culture around, you know, an empire like that, that is Wicked, once you brought your own unique energy and leadership to the cast?
Couple things. First of all, so blessed to have entered a culture that was already thriving.
So it was a winning culture.
It was a winning culture. You know, yes. Like, and you know, this show has been open since 2003. And it's just an incredible, incredible company of people. So I had the privilege of walking in to like an already really established, respectful, like hardworking, fun group of people. I was also there, you know, in a long-running show. I was replacing. And so I wanted to definitely honor the person. It was Kara Lindsay. I love her so much. We went to school together. And just like honoring her as this like amazing woman. And then, yeah, just coming in and being myself. I really tried to just kind of enter the workspace every day with energy, kindness, like fun. And I will say one of the most meaningful gifts I've ever been given was I'm a huge fan of this company called The Giving Keys, which is based out in LA. They employ people who are transitioning out of homelessness to, stamp keys with different words. It's very cool. And then the key goes on a necklace. It looks like very fashion forward. But it's really meaningful because you can choose whatever word you feel like you want to embody more of, whether it's like breathe or love or believe. So many just beautiful, beautiful words. And so I asked the cast, like, hey, what word do you want to grow in? Like individually, like what word do you want to grow in? And I was just grateful to like work with the Giving Keys and make sure that everybody got a key. And one of my most favorite gifts that I've ever been given was, this was actually at the end of the second national tour when I was closing my time there. It was a journal from every single person talking about how they have grown in their word, how they have like learned about themselves in the context of that word, how that word has like shaped them. And I sobbed like a baby because it was just such a privilege to like not just know them professionally, but also have a deeper level of a personal relationship with people. So, I don't know. I just tried to, you know, just serve the story, serve the audience, and just do my part in a small part in a massive, I don't want to say machine, but like, you know, there's just so many people whose jobs are essential every single night. Like all of us or just come and we all make the show happen together. And so I just tried to do my part, you know, with goodness. Oh my gosh. And goodness knows. Yes.
Wow. Nice play of words there.
You know, Al, I had to.
Yeah. It's all good.
But I love that company. Like, it's honestly such a privilege. The touring companies and the company here, just good. Just great people.
With all the success you've had, do you ever visualize what you think could be next in your career or anything that you're hopeful of?
Back to visualizing. Guys, I made a joke. It was supposed to be funny. Okay. Nobody laughed.
I had a smile on my face. I wanted to let you have the floor.
I know. That was really generous of you. It is so generous. But yes, visualize praying for this future. You know, I'm so excited. Actually, you guys, I have a new role coming up. This is a new thing that not a lot of people, well, actually a lot of people know now. But I'm going to be stepping into the role of Mrs. Andrew Bell starting pretty soon. I'm planning a wedding to my love.
Yes,
that he's amazing.
That's the ultimate lead role, yeah.
Answer to my prayers, like he is, guys, he's amazing. Just like anybody out there who's listening, just like don't settle.
Listen, as a 29-year-old single male in New York City, I've learned as much.
I'm just grateful. I'm grateful. And also, like, you know, don't settle within yourself too, because obviously we got to work on, you know, we got to like refine that character for ourselves, you know, so that we can meet our match. Anyway, he is incredible. And so that is kind of the next big project, but, and I'm so excited to step into marriage. I think it's so important. I've been learning just about prioritizing my personal private life, as well as a career, you know, like to have a full, life. And I'm just grateful to get to do it with him. And I love you, Andrew. Okay, moving on.
That's a great horizon, for all the Amanda. Mushies.
But then also just a dream to lead my own sitcom. That's just, I would love, I got some ideas. I got some ideas up in this little brain. And then, yeah, I would love to record an album. I would love to originate a role on Broadway. And I'm just excited. I'm just excited to see what God has in store. And yeah, I just want to be a good steward of the gifts that I've been given. So whatever that looks like, we'll see.
We're excited too.
Thank you.
Now, before we wrap, one last quick game. We're going to play a little thing. We're going to do a little thing that we call Fastball Derby. I'll ask you a few questions really quick, and you just say the first thing that comes to your head.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, cake or pie?
Cake.
Beach Boys or Beatles?
Beach Boys.
What's your favorite Beach Boys song?
Something about surfing. Surfing USA.
All right.
I'll just judge that so hard. And honestly, I just like picked the first one. I didn't even like really answer that question. They're both great. Okay.
Ask permission or beg for forgiveness?
Oh my gosh. Well, both, because you don't want to be a hot mess and just do something that's disrespectful. Sometimes you got to ask permission, but inevitably, because we are flawed, we are going to have to ask for forgiveness. And that is a good thing to do, is to ask for both when you need to.
Favorite New York City meal?
Guys, I just got a slice of pizza on my way here. No shame. Just, I love that cheap pizza. Yeah. But if we're talking fancy, I really love Beauty in Essex.
Oh, I went there for my birthday a couple years ago.
Oh my gosh, that's great. It's so nice.
I love that place.
Yeah, but it's like behind
the one downtown, secret. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that spot.
Yeah, it's so good.
Most embarrassing onstage moment?
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot my lines while I was coming down the Kiyomiko stairs in like at the end right before for good. And I just stared so blankly and I was like in the white room of just like totally forgetting. But we saved it and it was fine. But it was kind of embarrassing. I hope nobody noticed too much, but.
Your three dream dinner guests, aside from me, Chris, and Scotty.
Oh my gosh, that is such a good question. Obviously, it would be you guys.
Thank you.
Three dream dinner guests. Oh my gosh. Okay, I have just like some, just like powerhouse ladies that I really look up to in life. I'm just going to say like Christine Kane, who's like an author and a speaker. I love her so much. I'm going to say like Bernadette Peters. And then I'm also going to say, like, I want Andrew to be there because he's my favorite and I want to see him some more. So I'm going to go to dinner with him too.
Sounds like a fun dinner party.
I think so. I think so.
And lastly, best piece of advice anyone ever gave you?
Oh, wow. God is faithful. Yeah.
That's awesome, Amanda. And listen, I'm so happy that you came on the show today. And this was a fun one. I enjoyed this and I learned a lot too.
Oh my gosh, me too. Oh my, this was so fun. Thank you for having me. You know what? I think we got a home run here with this episode.
Oh, absolutely.
You just got a home, what is it? Is that the right term?
That is the right term, I know.
You hit it out of the park, Al.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I enjoyed having you here, and you were a really great hitter. And
thank you.
Yeah, hopefully you enjoy this upcoming baseball season. Watch some Chapman. You know,
that's right. Now he and I. We're buddies now.
Amazing. Well, this is Al Malafronte signing off from the Broadway Podcast Network. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Break a Bat. This is produced by the fine folks at the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit and subscribe at bpn.fm/breakabat. You can find me online at break_a_bat_podcast. And you can also find the Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram at Broadway Podcast Network. It's been so great having you here with us today, and we'll see you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.